WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Louis Begley devoted his novels Wartime Lies and The Man Who Was Late to the long-reaching effects of the Holocaust on his characters' lives. In his new book, As Max Saw It, Begley takes up the subject of another death-bearing tragedy. Critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
Allow me to quote from the note Max Strong leaves in his wife's empty diaphragm box after it becomes clear, even to him, that she must be having an affair. Max writes, "With whom are you using it?" Get that, with whom? Even in the throes of marital agony, Max is careful to maintain his grammar. There hasn't been a character this stylishly out of touch with his own feelings since that elegantly clueless butler, Stevens, in Kazuo Ishiguro's The Remains of the Day. If Stevens and Max were ever to occupy the same novel, it would be filled with blank pages of tactful silence. Louis Begley's As Max Saw It is the kind of novel you just can't help but talk about in terms of other novels. Not because it's derivative, but because it does something only writing can do. That is, to take you into the thoughts of characters whose constrained language falls short of describing what they half perceive. The work of other archaeologists of the inner life, like Henry James, Edith Wharton, and Anita Bruckner, comes to mind. Here, Begley mostly explores the intense relationships between Max, who's a law professor, Charlie Swan, who's a famous architect, and a beautiful young man named Toby. Max and Charlie were Harvard classmates who dated the same girls. When they meet again after 20 years, Max is horrified by the changes in Charlie. Charlie's left his wife and become a hard-drinking, obscenity-spouting, gay man. Though Max would prefer to avoid Charlie and his lover Toby for another 20 years, their lives become entwined, which is a good thing because Charlie is a hoot, a welcome contrast to the reticent Max. For instance, when Charlie turns 60, he strips in front of Max and takes him on a tour of his crumbling body. "Behold my eyebrows," Charlie orders. "They have been invaded by pubic hair. Other pubic hairs protrude from inside my nose, itself thickened and bulbous. My skin, especially on the legs, is thin like rice paper. Inside my trousers and socks, it peels, leaving a fine white snow like dandruff." This is an outrageous corrective to all those "it's cool to be old" books currently flooding bookstores. But Charlie doesn't wallow in his depression. Max bucks him up. Charlie, in turn, helps Max through his divorce from the wife with the disappearing diaphragm, and they both care for Toby when he's dying of AIDS, although in the novel's general spirit of indirection, Begley never names the disease. At this point, As Max Saw It begs for one last comparison to another work of fiction, Thomas Mann's Death in Venice. Instead of the diseased winds of the Sirocco that threatened Mann's golden boy Taddeus, here we have a modern plague blowing into town and carrying off the Adonis-like Toby. In a stunning ending, Charlie, like Mann's doomed hero Aschenbach, sacrifices himself for his beloved. Reading As Max Saw It and thinking about these comparisons, I remembered how, a scant decade ago, the veil was lifted from Death in Venice. Literary critics began discussing it not just as an aesthetic allegory, but also as a homosexual love story. When it comes to willed obliviousness, Max and the butler Stevens have a lot of company.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed As Max Saw It by Louis Begley. This is Fresh Air.